Cheers, everybody. We are back for another edition of Drink Brendan's Good Whiskey. Just kidding. Bourbon on a budget. And we are here to drink Brendan's Good Whiskey. TJ Pittenger, Brendan Sinone, Ben Cock. Gents, we took a week off last week. We showed the folks, the fine folks on here on our platforms, the little meet and greet we have with Tommy at Davidoff. Go check that out if you haven't just yet. But we took a little bit of a week off. Did you guys enjoy your break? Did you enjoy your time away from me?
All right, actually, Ben, what are you doing?
Pouring some of Brendan's really good whiskey.
I call shenanigans on all of this. I actually saw TJ, so I didn't get much of a break from him.
That's true. Awful. That's very true. You did see a lot of me.
It's going to be pain me to watch. Whoa, it's pain me to watch you guys drink my amazing
this
William
is probably
Miller.
Probably one of the biggest pours I've given in a while. Oh, look at that. Look at how creamy goodness that is. Ooh.
What you got there, Brendan?
I hope I don't stretch this out with my buff physique. TJ, I got your stupid polo on. You should have taken it while you had the chance. Now I'm going to spill this amazing William LaRue Weller all over it.
I definitely didn't just screenshot that.
No!
Yeah. Only fans.
Yeah. Can you give me a downward
view? No, I'm not doing that anymore.
I at least deserve that.
You had your jollies.
Yeah, well, there's going to be some more jollies to be had. Brendan, you look good today. We're going to leave it on you for the entire course of the episode today.
I feel like this makes my face look fat. I don't like it.
I think your face
the
looks
old
I think your,
fat
I think,
face.
I think your face looks makes your face look fat. Easy for me to say.
Easy for you to say.
Jesus. All right. we took last week off. We're back today. What are we doing? What are we finishing up today, Brendan?
We are finishing. I thought Ben was going to go King of the Hill. King of the Hill. So. Oh, look at that. Listen to that. Maker's Mark cast strength, Maker's Mark 46 cast strength, is enjoying a remarkable run. It's made it to the fifth and final round. You guys
are undisputed.
Some shenanigans going on because you two knew what was at the end, which was Brendan's amazing bourbon. We'll get to that in a second. To get to this point, William LaRue Weller has had to go through a litany of William LaRue Weller? Sorry, I got William LaRue Weller on the mind. Maker's 46 has gone had to go through a litany of weeders. It first had to beat Wilderness Trail cast strength, Maker's Mark cast strength, so a little, you know, head-to-head family action. Then it beat up Weller 107, which a lot of people love, and frankly, secondary is more money than the Maker's 46 cast strength. And then it beat up Larceny Barrel Proof, which secondary, also more money than Maker's 46 cast strength. So this is punched above its weight class. I would contend that Larceny Barrel Proof maybe was better than Maker's 46, but you know, you guys knew what was at the end of the rainbow here.
But the votes didn't go your way there, Chuck.
They did not. Stop the votes. Stop the steal. What is at the end? What is at the end of the rainbow is it's a legitimate unicorn. Right? No. What's at the end of rainbows?
Pot of gold.
But this is a unicorn, so it kind of works because they're all magical, right? And that is,
I don't know about that,
William LaRue Weller, folks. So this is in the Buffalo Trace Antique Collection line. This is a 2018. That's 125.7 proof. This is 12 years, 6 months old. Four or five different barrels that it's a blend of, but it's a weeded mash bill. It's uncut, unfiltered. It is exquisite goodness. TJ and Ben, you guys said this was your favorite bourbon that you tried all of last year, correct?
I think it was my number one of last year, yeah.
So,
what do you mean we will see? It was last year.
Yeah, it's already happened. I think you already said it.
We will have known by now.
It's unknowable.
I'm going to take this off. It was a good joke, but I don't want to spill on TJ's nice jacket.
I have several screenshots of you wearing FSU gear now, so you're welcome. We all
Is Brendan not an FSU guy?
No, he likes UCF.
Really?
He just happens to cover FSU.
Oh, geez, that's weird.
Ben didn't even know you weren't an FSU fan. I was telling him, like, I got a bunch of screenshots of you wearing FSU.
I mean, you live in Tallahassee and you work for 247 for FSU.
Some of us journalists like to believe in objectivity and
some of us run Double Fries No Slaw. Yeah. all right.
I really don't want to pour this.
King of the Hill, final round, Maker's Mark 46 cast strength up against WLW.
Oh, God. That was too much.
Oh, my gosh.
Just get hammered. $65.
Yeah. Brendan, tell us about WLW.
I kind of already did, but that's fine. It's from the BTAC collection. It is 125.7 proof, the specific
one.
It
comes just out feels like it needs... It feels more, like more fanfare. More of a lineup. Yeah, I don't want to drink it.
So BTAC is going to be George T. Stagg. It's going to be Eagle Rare 17 year. It's going to be William Lee Rueller, which is the weeded offering. Is Pappy considered part of BTAC?
It's not.
No, it's not. No, okay.
Not at all. And 0%.
Then the Sazerac and the Thomas H. Handy.
H. Handy.
Yeah.
Yep.
So these are all annual releases. They're super highly coveted. They come out, I mean, again, once a year, and well, that's an annual release.
Yeah.
But you know, you can get your hand on them occasionally. Costco by me last year had George T. Stagg, and then they lied to me, and Kevin's, you're dead to me.
Shout out Elliot.
Shout out Elliot and his wife Elliot got one. Yeah, just happy I tipped everyone off about that.
Hey, quick update. I was at Elliot's house this weekend.
Oh,
I went to Brendan's house, save the best for last. And
yeah,
that bourbon shelf is, have you ever seen the bourbon shelf like in person, Brendan?
Just pictures. No? Yeah.
Okay. Well, in person,
I need to see it. Elliot, we're coming.
It was amazing. It was amazing because like when you look at the pictures, you only get like the first layer.
Yeah.
This thing goes like layers and layers deep. This was an impressive bourbon shelf. So
my man's got income to spend.
My man's been collecting for a long time is what's been happening. So
that's true too.
Anyway.
Disposable income is so much fun.
Brendan's
blacking out.
Brendan's so drunk just from pouring the WLW. Okay. So Ben, you want to talk to us really quickly about Maker's Mark Cask Strength 46 before we go on?
Well, how much is William Lee Rueller secondary? Do we have any idea of what?
Yeah. So if you go and buy one right now, like if you just Google it, you can get one for like $2,500.
So, you know, speaking from experience,
yeah.
$1,700, $1,800 is kind of what you could get one for ideal in 19, maybe. Yeah. Well, probably $1,700-$1,800 is where you're at.
I mean, we're obviously going to do some tasting right now. I think if like it was available for like $500, I would buy it and not feel bad. It's a really special bottle of bourbon, perhaps the best that you'll ever get.
That's an interesting discussion. I think we need to have that tonight.
All right.
Well, what is the most expensive bottle you would buy and be forced to drink?
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
Talk about that later.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So Ben, sorry, Maker's Mark 46 cast strength.
Yeah, so I'm not going to bore you with too many of the deets because we've been reviewing this the past 2 weeks. This is Maker's Mark 46 cask. There you go. That's it. 46 cask.
It's a cask fantastic strength. Fantastic.
Maker's Mark 46, you know, twice barreled, little toasty, little bit of a marshmallow. Yeah, that's it.
It's good stuff. Yeah. It's probably not as good as William Lee Rueller. Definitely better than...
we don't know that yet.
It's definitely better than Larceny Barrel Proof, though. I will say.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. Let's jump into... do we even have to drink the Maker's Cask, or can we just
I'm telling you, man. The Maker's Cask is good.
Like, the Maker's Mask
46. It's really freaking good.
The Maker's Mark 46 nose is...
Really good.
I can't believe I'm saying this. It's holding like
marshmallow
up.
Bomb.
It's holding up. In a different way, this isn't a runaway on the nose, which is shocking.
Well, right. I will say talk a little about the William Lee Rueller nose, and we talked about it when we did the rapid review of it, Ben. Mm-hmm. You still getting the strawberries on there? Strawberries and cream.
Rapid review of the William Lee Rueller?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. Like 2 months ago. Yeah.
Here's a good question.
In storage.
The Maker's 40. Wait, no, we put it out. We put that out.
Did we? No, we didn't.
I'm sure I edited that already. Does it have the same aftertaste as Maker's Original? The Maker's 46 cask strength.
No,
it's I don't think so. Like that kind of young aftertaste that you get with a regular Maker's is not there. No, you get more of that marshmallow.
Finishes marshmallow. Yeah,
yeah. It's a lot more proof. I mean, you're jumping up from like what 94, 92. I don't know.
I think Maker's Original is 90 right on the dot.
The 46 cask is so good. Like, it is really, really freaking good.
So you're jumping up 20 proof there. So it can be a little bit of an adjustment because this is 110 in change. But, Yeah, the Maker's 46 cask. And if you're not used to drinking high proof, I would just go with a regular Maker's 46 and go with that profile, which is the same thing, just proof down a little bit. But a good question.
I'll do that.
Strawberries and cream?
Yeah, so I get like...
buttery?
Interesting. Like some like vegetal notes. So like think about like a strawberry and rhubarb pie, right? Maybe a little bit of like... Maybe like a little bit of bubble gum. It's
ooh, definitely I get a little bit of gum.
Huh?
I get the bubble gum. Yeah, right? That's a good shout.
So like to me, it's like it's very fruit forward for as old as it is. It's weird. Like it's a very distinct kind of like experience. When I first tried it, like I said, I was strawberries and cream, and now I get like definitely strawberries, definitely cream, but you also have like a root note, like I said, rhubarb or something. A little vegetal. It's good though.
Vegetal?
Very.
Vegetable.
Yeah.
All right, earthy. I wanted to get you guys earthy? Into a little bit of scotch.
Earthy?
I'm getting a.
Had a little scotch in a blind tasting yesterday that I didn't hate, just to all let right, you know.
We're going to get you.
I wish I'd have known what it was, remembered to look at it later. But
well, later. You're so, also, kind of in the realm of a scotch, and this is just what aging in a barrel can do, because the vegetable can kind of come across, but you know, I'm getting is a lot of honey and a lot of like almost like kind of like a toffee kind of vibe, which is more started with like a nice Speyside scotch, a non-peated one. It's got a very depthy rich.
I still get strawberry cream. Strawberry cream, so good on this.
Yeah, this is really solid. This is really good
for the proof for the drink so low. What's the proof on this? Like 126?
125.7.
Whew.
Yeah.
All right. Have we moved the taste yet?
I've started sipping.
I think it's better is very subjective. It's more complex than the Maker's Castering nose. I'll say the Maker's Castering 46 nose is more maybe robust is the right word. Like it's more in your face. It's more like full, but I think the William LaRue Weller nose is more complex. It's obviously more distinct, and so that's why I'd probably lean that way with it. But the Maker's 46 Castering nose is very good. Like I'm not trying to crap on it, or say that it blows it out of the water. The big differences to me are complexity and just heft would be the word.
There is more depth, and I thought the Maker's 46 had a lot of depth to it, and it still does. But comparatively, the William LaRue Weller does have more going on and more depth. Ooh, what do we got
Jason,
going on here?
Hello,
Jason Journeyman Distiller. Yeah. Coming in at, wow.
Yeah. Well, 140.6 proof weeder. Interesting.
Well, too late now, Jason.
Send in the sample.
No,
samples are didn't happen.
Yeah, Brendan, we need some more WLW to compare to that next week.
We'll move on. I did want to say for the Maker's
final challenge strawberry.
Before we move on to taste for the note on the Maker's 46 cast strength, I had not gotten this at any other point. I don't recall, and now compared to the Weller, I am. Peanut brittle. There's the level of like, and not in the rye spice way. Like this is legit like peanut brittle that I'm getting on the Maker's.
On the Maker's?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which just compared to the Weller.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's this nice peanut buttery note to it. Creamy.
The William LaRue Weller is so creamy. It's outrageous how like thick and chewy it is. It's good.
The finish. I can't believe the finish on. I don't want to jump
hold on.
All
right. Yeah.
Holy crap, though.
It's a strawberry show finish. The finish is strawberries. It's a spicy strawberry.
So I love, right now it's strawberry season. And so you can go to this little hole in the wall farmer's market called Parksdale Farms in Plant City. And they do strawberry shortcake like no one's business. Like President Obama went there. And that's pretty much it. That's all you need to know. It is
you just offended half incredible. The fan base.
Okay, Trump went there too. I mean, you don't know. That's the other fan base. We got him back.
Yeah, everybody's back. Or now everyone hates us. That's not how it works.
I think we isolated everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone doesn't love us now. Everyone now hates us. So
you guys ever been to
Santas likes it. Santas likes it too.
You guys ever been to the Plant
Strawberry
City
Festival? Absolutely we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to go every year. We should take the kids.
Yeah.
Load them up with some strawberry shortcake. That'd be fun.
Oh, I'm going to go to Park.
And by kids, I mean Brendan. I don't mean our kids. No, I mean,
load me up the strawberry shortcake. Call me President Obama.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this
Trump
is like a
Brendan.
Strawberry shortcake finish. It's It's so good.
It's really elite.
I'm so glad we made sure that Maker's 46 cast got here.
Oh, you are not lying. I will say, I think the noses were somewhat close. This puts itself on an absolute another level when you move on to taste. And it, you know.
Yeah.
This would also beat Larceny Barrel Proof, just to let you know, Brendan.
Yeah, well, that wasn't really the point of the exercise.
Well, it's part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm done with the Maker's 46. I'm not drinking that again
tonight. I don't know. I mean, I like the Maker's. It's an overperformer for me.
The Maker's is holding its own in a way that I wasn't expecting, even on the taste. Now, the taste is where the William Lee Weller starts to. It's not really a question which one's a higher quality, but man, it's not a blowout by any means. This is like Georgia Alabama national championship game, TJ, where Georgia kind of pulls away in the fourth quarter, where the better team starts to kind of distinguish
itself. You don't want to mention Ben with that? You didn't think Ben would like that reference?
Yeah. I did not. I thought maybe Joe Decadence, if he's listening or watching, would appreciate it though.
Oh, he will love that.
Bulldog.
Yeah. Could you imagine barking at somebody in an airport? Like, just
what?
Those people. You didn't see those Georgia fans barking at people.
What do you mean by those
people? Keep it moving.
What do you mean by those people?
Georgia fans.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Sean. What up?
What up, Sean? Sanone. I hardly know him.
Sean.
After not hanging out with TJ and I. Yeah, we got to talk about those from Tallahassee. Yeah, Sean. I got Sean mentioned up in Tallahassee. Harlan and I hung out. Yeah, we got to talk about some Tallahassee stuff here in a minute. But William Lou Reller absolutely dominates here. It's a 15-point game at the end. They pull away at the end. It's a two-score game that was never in doubt.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. I'm going to do sports for you guys because I'm
going to be a please, guy. Dumb it down for us.
Makers wins the tip-off, but then the rest of the game is pretty much.
But then Willie the Roller hits a home run.
Yeah. they won the coin
and then toss. All three periods.
Jason's right. I think that Brendan's just trying to make himself feel better. No way MM46 cask is that close. I agree with you, Jason. You're right.
No way.
Oh, I see what you did there. You're right. The Maker's 46 cask is good. I'm going to take my last sip of it so that I can only drink Weller for the rest of the
night. As it gets closer to the bottom, like it gets worse.
As it's opening up, William Lee Weller is getting better too. I think it's part of what's happening. And this has been my experience whenever I've drank this. I'm about halfway through the bottle. You guys have somehow probably had about half of it, you bastards. But as it aerates and as it opens up in a glass, it really does.
Jason's spot on.
No, it's not.
80 to 14.
It's not done. FSU Idaho 20.
80 to 14.
No, what this is.
But they still scored.
This is FSU. This,
yeah, they it's like still a, score. Yeah, the ugly board, baby. The ugly guy at FSU still scores.
It's
FSU
Duke in the ACC title game that year, where Duke, you know, for like a quarter was like, hey, good for them, and then just gets ugly.
You're funny.
Yeah.
William Lou absolutely dominates tonight, and that's all that there is.
That's the king of the hill. But you know what? Let's give a round of applause to Maker's 46. Even if it was even you guys Russian judged it or ROC'd it into the finals.
This is a stupid good.
You're not allowed to make Russian jokes right now.
I think this is the exact time to make some Russian jokes. I don't think there's a better time than right now to make some Russian jokes. All of a sudden, it's going to get squiggly lined, and we got hacked.
We're taking offline.
Yeah, minus the loss of life that's happening right now. Yeah. But, I mean, just make some jokes, Brendan.
Can I say screw Russia? Is that a bad thing to say?
That's fine, but you called us Russian judges is what you called us.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you called us Putin, basically.
I thought he was saying that we were rushing it through.
Sean, I just took a sideway. Yeah. William Lou Reller, best whiskey Sean's ever had. Harlan said reporting this YouTube video for hate speech. Oh man, shout out Harlan. All right, so King of the Hill, really good. I thought this Weeder King of the Hill was one of the best ones we've done. I like the newer format where pacing we did two in a week. Two in a week was nice. Other ones take too long. So I don't know what our next King of the Hill will be. Maybe it'll be budget stuff. Maybe we'll go really cheap on the next one. I don't know.
King of the Well.
King of the Wells. Kentucky Gentleman. Yeah, let's do those. King of the Well.
I mean, I bought Benchmark for a project we're doing later this month. Or
you
next month.
King of Foolproof?
No. King of the Valley.
It's not acting. Yeah, well, William LaRue Weller is amazing. All right, I take it all back. Maker's Cast Strength, you're great, but William LaRue Weller kicked your ass. All right.
Regular early times. Let's do regular early times.
Oh, gosh. Plastic only. Plastic only. That's what it needs to be.
Yeah,
only
plastic. I like it. I like
plastic
it.
Month.
Okay. What do we have coming up? A quick preview. This is going to be a shorter episode, by the way, but quick preview of what we have going on next month. Brendan, why don't you go ahead and tell us? Take it away.
So, well, kind of since we're drinking a little William LaRue Weller's, this 8 Buffalo Trace product, we are going to do, in honor of it being March Madness, a little NCAA tournament action, we're going to do our own tournament for Buffalo Trace. We're going to take, I think, about 12 of the most attainable Buffalo Trace products, and it's going to take us into some of the higher-end stuff like Elmer T. Lee, but you can find it if you look hard enough for it. We're going to stack them all together. We're going to try to rate them by order of secondary price and see what the true value of the Buffalo Trace line is. Of all those that you find relatively easily, or at least can find, unlike the William LaRue Weller, you guys are welcome for me sharing that with you again. You can find all these if you look hard enough for it, and we're going to see like which ones below $300 MSRP are worth the chase. So, yeah, we're going to do a little bracket, going to do that throughout the month and see which Buffalo Trace product advances and wins our March Madness. What are we going to call the tournament? Do we have any idea, fellas? No? I hate the only
The Buffalo Madness.
I know. That's why I left it up there.
Buffalo Madness. I love that, Ben. That's good.
I didn't think Ben – I thought Ben was going to totally, like, screw up that, like –
Why? What makes you Ben smart and
I'm a genius.
Because of the sports things. The sports.
Buffalo sports.
No, he also had the pull of Pappy for the Natty idea too, which was also really good. Ben's Ben. Stop drinking my William LaRue Weller. Stop it.
Oh,
stop.
It's great, man. It's so good. I just want to nose it for the next six hours.
I feel so cuckolded right now.
Mm-hmm. Your personal life later.
That's weird.
So
whatever Brendan's into, I guess.
Pursuits and purchases. We'll talk a little bit about my Tallahassee trip and Brendan and I hanging out a little bit this weekend. But pursuits and purchases. Have you purchased anything?
I have.
This week, boys?
Well, so one friend of the show, Jason Noe, he was doing all sorts of traveling, Kentucky, Mississippi, and he stopped at a place in Mississippi. It was there for like a day and a half. So he's able to go to the liquor store, try a couple of their store picks, and kind of give us a little rundown of what was really good and unique. And he got me a bottle of Kentucky Spirit, which is basically Wild Turkey 101. Is it Kentucky Spirit? Yeah, that's it. Now you guys threw me off the Kentucky Gentleman earlier. So it's Kentucky Spirit. So it's basically Wild Turkey 101, but a single barrel. He procured a really amazing store pick of that single barrel. And he's going to get to me in the next week or two. So I'm looking forward to that. So that's one. And then next is a little Four Roses single barrel action from ABC. It is the recipe OBSO, nine years, six months. Nice. Apparently OBSO is probably one of the more hard to find ones. Just kind of stumbled into an ABC one day, saw it. People went crazy for this in Tallahassee. And I think I gave Benethy a tip to where maybe he was able to go and look for one.
Ben, do you want to take it over from there?
Yeah, so I didn't get the same recipe as that. I got an OBSK from ABC that they picked out. But I love all the Four Roses barrel strength picks. All the
Four Roses picks are really good, yeah.
And so to me, it's like it's always worth spending the money in kind of like hunting recipes. I definitely want the I almost was like, hey, Brendan, I already have an OBSK. You want to trade? And then he was like, oh, this recipe is so rare and hard to find. I'm gonna keep this. So
because you were anyway, trying to gyp him, you were trying to give him the cheap one.
I had no idea that it was like a rare recipe. I just wanted to like get all of the recipes, and that was one that I didn't have. And so
stop trying to trade 0%. Your Pikachu for my Charizard, you son of a bitch.
He really was.
That's a reference that I get. That's a reference I know.
Sports. Jeez.
Yeah, it could be a Raichu. Jeez, whatever. Anyway. Thank you. So in addition to the Four Roses single barrel strength, I also bought two tickets to the Tampa Whiskey Society's blind bottle share that happened at Onswan this week.
Onswan.
And so it was $35 a person plus a bottle that you brought that you enjoy drinking. And Jay, the guy that runs the society, is there was no stipulations on bottle, like value or anything, but like bring something that you enjoy drinking. And so I brought an OBSK
Four Roses barrel strength, the one I got, ABC. Like, it was,
you're
great.
Trying to pawn off to me. Hey, are people gonna be allowed
trying to pawn it?
Are people gonna be allowed to eat food at this blind bottle share? Or are you gonna someone who says no, you can't eat food for 6 hours straight?
No. So
the food was amazing.
The food was outrageously great. En Swan is, if you've never been in Tampa, it's one of the better options in Hyde Park. They put on a great experience. They had a huge lineup of all of their food. A really good buffet. And I said, for $35 plus a bottle, what a great value that was. We got to try a lot of interesting stuff. Some things that you see in the store and you're like, hey, I want to buy that, but I don't know if I want to spend all that money just to try it. Like, there was, so someone had brought the Kirkland, that was a 1792 Barton bottle and bond bottle. Someone had bought a Four Roses single barrel or small batch select bottle. Someone had bought a Nashville barrel pick.
That was good. That was good.
Really freaking great. Another one had brought a blue run straight rye. Mm. Got to try that. And then
is that worth? Like, that's about $250-$300. I think, is that worth?
I don't know that it's worth $250.
Oh, is it not?
But it's that really much? Good.
It's really good.
$150.
I don't think much stuff is worth secondary. To be very fair with you, like, there aren't many bottles I say that's worth secondary. Even the stuff I love. So,
someone else brought it was an E.H. Taylor straight rye, and so I think that was probably one of the bigger hitters at the.
Yours did really well. Your Four Roses did really well.
My Four Roses left rushed like 100%. Yeah. Like, that was definitely being drank, but you kind of factor that into the cost. And so for the bottle plus $35, you get to try pretty much the unlimited amount of everybody else's bottle. And there's 40 people there, so there's like 30 bottles. If you came in a couple, you brought one bottle. But if you came individually, anyway. Overall, to say it was a great experience. Really good people at En Swan. At the end of the event, they pulled out a couple deals where, like, if you wanted to taste Pappy 10 or Pappy 12, Pappy 10, they were doing 1 ounce pours for $20, and the Pappy 12 was a 1 ounce pour for $35. I think. Am I getting that right, TJ? I'm pretty sure I'm close on that. And so I thought that was a good opportunity as well to like try something that you don't have access to that often. Brennan's kind of given his
$20 I thought was reasonable. The jump to $35 seemed a little excessive, but we can do.
Well, anyway, it was a cool event. You got a network, talked to a couple other people in the society, make friends. It was good. It was a good time for $35. We'll be looking out for the next
one. The food itself was worth $35. They had chicken, they had like fried chicken sandwiches. With like a homemade coleslaw and some sweet pickles on it. They had
BLTs.
A BLT, like really good BLTs, like done up with like real thick bacon. Charcuterie boards, garlic parm fries. Shout out to folks at En Swan because that was fantastic. Obviously, Jay at the Whiskey Society, they do a fantastic job. So, shout out everything that had to do with that share yesterday. And then getting to try all those different things. You had the whole restaurant to yourself. It was really, really well done. Really well put on. Really well done. Probably the best blind bottle share I've ever been to, just to be fair. I've only been to two ever, but
that one was great.
This one they allowed you to eat food.
That one had En Swan. It was
great. This one they allowed you to eat food.
Huge, huge buffet. It was great.
It was good. Okay, cool. Do you guys have much else? Like, do we have any other shout outs or anything else before shorter show today? But
we can move on from these two topics. You guys just both addressed them, and maybe people have been listening, waiting to hear. Okay. Ben mentioned the topic of what we would spend for a secondary. And then TJ wanted to talk about our weekend, his time up here. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I just gave you some bourbon and beat your ass in NCAA football. We can move on.
I don't know if that's quite what happened. Jason had a 45 bottle.
He brought legitimate like a plastic tub that you'd store, anything, a storage tub.
Way to go. Way to go, Jason. That's the way to go.
My man was not playing around with
thank God his wife likes bourbon. Like, imagine doing that and having to explain it without the understanding that like bourbon's fun to collect and to drink. Yeah.
Okay. So here's the prompt. I was kind of chatting with a friend of mine who like owns a bar, and I'm like, hey, I'm interested in getting a like a bottle of whiskey because they have a nice bourbon selection and that kind of thing. And they were like, okay, like that's fine. We'll kind of choose a bottle and figure out what that would be, but you can't sell it because it can't get back to the distillery or like the distributor that you're selling bottles to people or whatever. And so in my head, I'm like, to me, my bottle, the ultimate bottle that I would have to overpay for, it'd be well below secondary, but you would have, like, you would drink it at this price. I feel like I would get a Michter's 20 and I'd be okay drinking it. I don't know if 1,000 is exactly where I'd want to be, but I feel like
you would pay $1,000
for 750. I think 750 to pull that out would be, but it's a $6,000 bottle, right? Like if you're going to buy that, you can't buy it. It's a $6,000 bottle in the secondary market. If you get it for 750,
what is it retail?
It retail is like $600 or $700.
I'd pay retail for that. Maybe 100.
That's still a ton of freaking money, you know? Yeah. Like that's big money to get that. I think, okay, so if retail is 750, you wouldn't pay 1,000 for a Michter's 20.
And have to drink it?
You couldn't sell it though. That's the stipulation.
Right.
You couldn't sell it.
Probably not.
You had to drink it. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Jason said MSRP on the bottle is 850. Right? So if you get an MSRP, you have to drink it. Would you buy it in the store? That's a good question. So anyway,
I don't know.
Think about what you would want to pay for something and drink it. Because that's the real key.
All right. I'm thinking of that. As this is happening, I'm also thinking of a counter to that, Ben. What's the most you'd spend on a bottle comfortably without having ever tried anything close to it to have an idea of like what it resembles? Like say you've had Pappy 12, you can buy Pappy 15 for like $200-$300 and know a reasonably like this is going to be quality.
But you got to drink it.
Yeah. I'd do that. Yeah. What's something that you would buy and you have no idea like anywhere close to like remotely like what it would taste like? You'd feel okay.
Yeah. I've never had close to it.
So Sazerac 18 is the only Buffalo Trace antique collection that I've never had. So I would pay $300 to $400 right now to have that and drink it. Maybe five is where I'd draw that line.
Five? Come on. It's a $2,000 bottle, you know?
But I love Baby Saz. Mm-hmm. I love Thomas Handy Sazerac. I know. I'm going to like that. You may get that Michter's 20 and absolutely hate that.
My Michter's 10 well,
I know
Rye
I'm
is
going to like
nightmare.
Jeez. I know I'm going to like Sazerac 18, and so that's why I'm willing to spend $300 to $400, maybe $500. But like three is probably my sweet spot for that one.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, I think the most I've spent on a bottle, like it was George T. Stagg, was like $350-ish, I think, a couple of years
ago. And you're still in a good spot there. Like I haven't spent more than like $200 on a bottle that I'm like gonna be drinking or whatever. But I feel like to get those really big unicorns, like the Pappy 23 or the Michter's 25, Michter's 20, those are the bottles that you have to pony up. Even MSRP, like I said, MSRP on those is $850 for a Michter's 20. You'd be jumping for joy getting that at MSRP, you know?
Yeah.
But you get to drink it. That's the hard part is like, I got to go and freaking pour this out. And then every time I'm pouring it, it's like, $50-$60.
Yeah. Really? Special occasion bourbon or whiskey.
Hold on. Here's a comment from Jason. He says, the Thomas H. Handy crushes the Saz 18. I was disappointed with Saz 18.
Wow.
That's an interesting take because I have a Thomas H. Handy and I'm not blown away by it. Like, I feel like it's okay. But I have other ryes that I enjoy way better. Just if you have a Saz 18, I'll swap you samples because I will not try it. But
and some of that is like the BTAC, like the stuff changes each year, right? So it could be like it depends on what year you have, like a different version could be markedly better or worse.
True. Like my Michter's 10 Rye is markedly terrible. It makes me so mad how bad that bottle is. I think it's the barrel, but it's a nightmare drinking it. Everyone I poured it for is like, this is not good. I'm like, yeah, you're freaking right. So
I don't like my Michter's 10 bourbon I have. I thought that's
I've had some great one of those.
Very mild, very mediocre. Yeah.
Oh, man. Brutal.
So, all right. In more fun news, hung out with Brendan this weekend, tried some good bourbon, beat his tail if you don't count score.
Okay, that makes no sense.
If you don't count the score, I was better than him because I was playing with a worse team.
Says every millennial ever.
How much do I pay for WLW? So I've had that. Sean asked. I will.
I pay $50 for a pour or like a bottle.
No,
like
a bottle.
Pour.
You're getting pours for free, so I don't. Your idea of how much you should pay.
Honestly, I'd probably go $250 would be my cap. $300 maybe.
Bottle.
If you saw it at a store at $500, you would pass on it. There's no way.
No, I'd buy it, but I wouldn't
drink it.
You have to drink it. You're not flipping it or whatever.
But I'm not doing that for $500. No,
$500 is a lot of money.
Not much is worth $500 to me. You know, like that's tough. That's a lot of money. I can buy a lot of really good bourbon for that. So
none of it's going to be better than the William LaRue Weller, though.
That's very valid. The
quantity. I will have a lot more.
You can buy a bunch of early times and get drunk and then have the William LaRue Weller if that's what you want to do.
You get 60 bottles of Buffalo Trace.
Seems like a good deal to me. Seems like a great deal to me.
Just get drunk on moonshine.
Yeah, Brendan and I hung out. I also hung out in a suite at the baseball game that I invited Brendan to, but he didn't come to. He didn't hang out with Harlan and I over the weekend.
I was sick. I was throwing up.
Well, I remember the first time I had bourbon. So I hung out in a suite with some of the guys from Ology, and they had their rye and whiskey up there. And it was really cool to chat with them. Brendan had an invite to this, to said suite.
Kind of.
But they had, I confirmed I could have got you up there easily. So they had the Ology, whiskey, the bourbon, the rye, both up there. Really good stuff for a local Tallahassee place. Really good. Jason is, Sean mentioned Jason up there at Ology. Really good guy. Chatted with him for quite a while. Their product's really good.
A single barrel out, TJ. They just released like two or three days ago, I think.
I meant to get it. I was up there, but I just didn't want to stop back by the brewery. But yeah, good stuff. They do really good sour beers. I'm a huge fan of their beers, and then their whiskey was good. It's MGP sourced. They will source from different places. We'll get those guys on to talk at some point because it was really, really good to chat with them and try their whiskey. And so we'll have to do that live on the air. That was a lot of fun. But yeah, fun weekend. And then I got home, went to that bottle share, that blind tasting with Ben. I took my new Lou. Brendan got me one. Elliot got me one. Good stuff there. Took my Nulu toasted, so enjoyed that.
That's another question for Brendan. Brendan,
yes,
there's no stipulation on what bottle you bring, but it has to be something that you would enjoy drinking to the blind bottle share. And me and TJ had a couple of discussions on what that bottle would be, like what can you bring and be okay with bringing to a blind bottle share, right? So what are you grabbing out of your selection right now? It says, hey, there's no stipulation, but it better be something that you enjoy drinking. That was the only rule.
I mean, I got a Four Roses single barrel. I think that's a really good one that I have.
Don't open. Steal mine. You can't freaking steal mine. That's ridiculous.
I have a George – or a George C. Sack.
A George C. Sack. I really enjoy drinking this thing.
Stag Junior, I would bring. I know that would be a hit. I do enjoy drinking it. Hopefully it's proofed up enough to where people don't go crazy on it. I mean, it wasn't a big hit at yours, and I think it was partially because everyone drank at the very end. It was the lowest proof, but the Sam Houston 14 I really liked after it opened up. I hated it at first, and it opened up, and I was like, oh, this is actually excellent. And I tried to spread the gospel there, but it was not well received. So trying to think of what else. I shared with TJ, and like this is stuff that I'd bring. I shared my Bull Run 13, which I gave to Joe Decadence, and Joe absolutely loved it. I thought that's really good at its price point. The Willett Blackened edition I shared with him, and that's really, really good.
These are pretty big bottles you bring him. Like, you have to understand, like, you may go home with nothing. Like, you're going to contribute the cost to this bottle.
The Stag Junior, I would be okay with because I have a couple of them. The Bull Run, I'd be okay with because I have a couple of them. That's not that much money. I think it punches way above its weight class. Yeah.
This is a good comment section. I want people to leave us a comment and say, hey, I'm going to be contributing this bottle. I enjoy drinking it. And you're okay with kind of like walking away from the cost of that.
What's a bottle that you would bring, Ben, that you don't really care for and, you know, would impress people at a bottle share? So people that are kind of snobby, bougie. Mine would be Elijah Craig Barrel Proof, some of the higher ones.
Somebody brought that. Okay. Somebody brought that.
That would be one that I would be okay. It's people. I know some people would appreciate it, but I'd be fine taking it off my hands.
So I went back and forth on this with TJ, and I had recently bought a
store pick.
ABC. Right. It was an ABC High West American Prairie finished in port barrels. And TJ was like, no, you can't bring that. That's ridiculous.
TJ said that was not like, really good, right?
I didn't think it was that bad.
Well, Ben hadn't had it yet, to be fair.
Yeah.
So I thought it should be, I thought something you can get. Now, once I got there and saw what some of the other people brought, I don't think that would have been a bad one to take. But going into it,
you don't know.
I thought something that you could just get on every ABC shelf right now, which is not maybe not every, but a lot of ABC shelves. I thought that was a little low. So I took that Nulu toasted store pick. Mm-hmm. Jason's saying a good one would be a Penelope toasted
barrel. That was my other option. I had a store pick from Liquor Depot that I was like,
so I think that would have been fine to take. I encourage Ben to take that Four Roses. I thought that was a little better level, a little better type
people
thing
enjoyed
to bring.
It, you know, like it was.
I thought that was a better thing to bring than the ABC store pick. Yeah. I thought that was kind of going a little cheap. But all that said, somebody there had a 1910. So like,
you could have brought Kirkland, bottle and bond. Like, there wasn't, as long as you enjoyed drinking it. That was the only.
But you had never had that, so how could you say you enjoyed drinking it? So I mean, I saved you from dishonesty.
That's valid.
So, Brendan, what would you have brought? Oh, the Sam Houston. Yeah, crap. All right,
it had to be sealed. It had to be sealed. So no stuff that you drank at the house you didn't like. You had to bring a friggin' brand new bottle. Yeah, no, like, oh, yeah, I opened this.
Oh, it's, yeah, it had to be sealed.
Expensive. I don't like it. I'm going to get rid of it. None of that crap. Right. So, anyway.
All right.
Good thoughts.
Well, guys, this has been one of the most in-depth, exhilarating episodes ever.
Of all time.
Of any show, any podcast, anywhere. You see this? Before we go, I'm going to pour this back into the bottle.
Dude, you can't pour stuff back in. That's illegal. It's illegal.
I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to wait till I have a funnel.
Why don't you just drink the rest of it?
Please know that if Brendan ever sends you another sample of William LaRue, it's all backwash. So
Just remember this.
Alcohol kills germs. It doesn't kill viruses.
Thanks, CDC.
It's been a good time to end this show, TJ. Yeah, there you go.
I was going
to
say, we're rushing through the end of this.
I don't get it.
We're live.
All right, TJ Pinger, Brendan Sinone, Ben Cock. Don't invite Ben to your bottle shares. He will go the cheapest route possible.
The Four Roses Barrel Spread.
Because I talked you into it. Follow us on social media, Bourbon on a Budget everywhere. See us on Thursday as we review Weller 107. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the William LaRue Rather. Cheers.